welcome back to the Game of Thrones recap show here on Variety Radio Online. As always, my name is Francie, and I am joined again tonight by our co-host, Jess. Jess is back. How are you, Jess?
I guess I'm better known as Boobs now.
Yeah, apparently.
Boobs. So I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Sitting out on my deck. It's a beautiful night out. I'm drinking some plum wine, you know. Pretty good.
That's right. Yeah. That sounds like a pretty good night.
I'm gonna have a little bone to pick with Mr. iWatch Mike.
Mike, he
had me rolling. I was driving home from visiting my father, not taking an STD test. and we were listening to it. I'm like, I am going to murder him.
Yep, that's Mike for you.
Yeah. Also, I should say, I was the original one to do the Game of Thrones recap, so I think I was replaced by penis instead of him being replaced by boobs. That's okay. I love having Mike on.
Mike.
Yeah, I actually, Mike. I do love having Mike on. I wish that I could broadcast with him more often, and I keep bugging him to come on and talk with us on a more regular basis, but he's always busy with the little munchkin, so unfortunately. Excuse me. He'll have to live vicariously through us. So, oh my God, I could not wait to talk to you about this episode. So how many times did you jump up and down?
There was a lot of things going on for me. What I don't understand, and let me ask you this, because I was looking online, and I thought it was a really good episode, but people were saying that it was really disappointing.
What?
What are your thoughts? Yeah.
What?
I didn't understand it. I was like, what? People
no.
really thought
No, it was great. Also, you and Mike were hysterical last week. I was actually yelling at the phone. I mean, yelling at my phone as I was listening to it. I'm like, we talked about that. Like,
yep.
I'm like, yes, they mentioned
Mike.
They were the Brotherhood. He was so funny, but in either case, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a fantastic episode. I wanted more. I didn't want it to end, but we know that the next week is going to be the big one. So we're recapping no one. For those of you who are listening and who don't want spoilers, this is your opportunity to turn the radio off, to stop listening to our podcast and come back after you've watched the show. And we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. Okay, your time's up. I fucking love the Hound. I love the Hound.
I know.
I've loved him
for
a while. Yeah. He's awesome. We got some organic dick this time.
Yeah.
We were talking about that last time. And it wasn't like close-up shot. It made sense in the scene. It wasn't as jarring to me, but I did notice it. In any case, of all the things that I could start off with, it's the Hound's penis. I'm sorry to put that image in your head, but
it's all right.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. Last episode, we saw that Arya got stuck, and we had no idea what was going to happen with her. And I loved that you and Mike discussed the fan theories, and
which were completely wrong.
They were completely wrong, but they were plausible. Both of them were plausible.
Yeah.
So, technically, well, I don't know. Maybe if you wanted to be really esoteric about it, you could say that the symbolism of Arya putting the face on the wall is her, you know, basically embracing the assassin in her, but then basically walking away from it is her owning it but not giving herself up, kind of thing. Like, she won over the waif that was trying to remove her personality. So, I mean, you could be esoteric about that and carry it through, but, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the fan theories were wrong. They were super interesting, though, and it got me through it to this week.
Yeah.
So, Arya survives. She did actually get stuck. Of course, she runs to to Lady Crane, and that whole scene where she's taking care of her and patches her up and all that stuff, milk with a poppy. And then it turns bad fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, the guy that comes in and actually kills Lady Crane, and also what the hell happened to her? Like, I couldn't really get a really good view of what they did to her.
Yeah,
but,
I don't
like,
know what that was.
That's not physically possible.
That was some weird stuff.
Right? She turns around, and I love the speech that she gave to Arya, that, like, we could use somebody. And you can see that she really wanted to go with her, but she had other plans. And I love the idea of her saying, well, you know, Essos is east and Westeros is west, but what's west of Westeros? And that was a pretty cool scene and showed a little bit more of her gumption than I think we've seen in the past, in that she's brave enough to even travel to the end of the earth just to see it. But so Lady Crane turns around and there's a person standing there. Now, here's the thing. Was the waif using a face so that Lady Crane didn't see her? Because really quickly after that, the waif shows up. So was she using a face so that Lady Crane didn't recognize her? Or was it a second, was it another assassin? What do you think?
You know, I hadn't thought about it until this moment. But,
what's your gut reaction?
I don't know. I feel like it had to have been the waif. I don't know. I just feel like adding another person to it would have made it, like, too complex.
Right. Yeah, because they don't tend to work together, usually.
Yeah.
So that would have been pretty good, you know, that would be a pretty interesting coincidence. And I don't really believe in coincidences in Game of Thrones. So, poor Lady Crane. It's almost like watching Final Destination. You just can't outrun death. If he has it up for you, you're going to get it. And that's very similar with the many-faced god. The waif does say to Arya, you know, he was promised a name, and he will get his name. And now he's promised another name, and he's going to have that name too. And an epic fight ensues. Although I may have to call logic fail on this one, Arya has several holes poked in her.
Yeah.
There's no freaking way she was running like that. Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, it is a TV show, so we kind of have to suspend the disbelief in that one. It was an epic scene. I mean, it was an epic chase. Although I did like the memes where they had the waif running down the hallway and then the Terminator guy.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's hilarious.
Did you see that one? It was great. It was like Terminator TBC 200 or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
It was pretty funny. So what do you think? Do you think that Arya had always planned to sort of lure the waif in and kill her, or do you think it just kind of worked out that way? Because you saw her hide needle 2 episodes ago. I know she didn't expect to get stabbed, so that's not part of the equation, but do you think that she had always had plans to sort of lure the waif to that location to try and kill her?
Well, when you say always, you mean always since she got to Braavos or always since she left?
No, always since she retrieved Needle, when she knew she had effed up and they were going to be after her, and she went and she got Needle back, and she hid it underneath her mattress in that random room that she'd been staying in. Do you think that ultimately she thought that she was going to wind up having a face-off with the waif? I think she thought that she was going to come for her at night, that
yeah.
she would find her and come for her at night. I know she didn't think she was going to get stabbed.
Right. Yeah, I that's what I'm thinking, too. I think that she thought that she would come for her and when she would least expect it, which, of course, would be, you know, at nighttime when she's not really alert.
Right.
But as we see, that's not how things worked out for Arya.
Right. So she survives. She And at first I was like, no, don't put the blood trail. Like, you're an idiot. Like, you should know better. I'm yelling at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realized that it was in her room and she pulls out needle, I was like, she freaking did that on purpose so that she would follow her in there. And then I thought they were just going to have this fight scene, that we were going to see this epic fight scene. And the girl was just so, she was just so happy to finally corner Arya and finally get this done. That she was just so overconfident, and Arya just takes out the candle, and it was fantastic.
Yes. I love that they put that in there. And it's almost, because people, that's one of the things that people were complaining about. They were like, all this time building up to Arya's training, and we don't even get to see her actually kill her. And I was like, but...
it was pretty good. It was definitely pretty good. And, you know, following on that esoteric fan theory that Arya and the Waif are the same person, I do have to say, when Jaqen H'Kar finally sees the face and it finally pans over to that face, there's a moment there where I couldn't tell who it was. And then I could. You know, like the first glance over, it was like, oh my God, is that actually Arya's face? And then I saw that it wasn't. So, I mean, you could follow that through with the symbolism, but I mean, I think I'm reading too much into it, but theoretically, you could, if you really want to make that leap.
That point.
Yeah, you could. So, Jaqen H'Kar and Arya have this this conversation where you finally get to see how much respect he has for her, where he says, you know, finally you've become no one. And she basically says, a girl is Arya Stark and I am going home. And she leaves. Basically like this, we're done. This is done. Like, you've got a face for that hole. And we're over, and I'm going back to Winterfell. And you see his face, like, yep, that's what we wanted all along. It's almost like he was pushing her into that.
Yeah. I feel like that, too. And thank God.
Thank God.
I pretty much lost it when she said that.
Yeah. Also, there's an awesome meme that I didn't get to share with you, I don't think. It's a picture of Jaqen H'Kar, and it basically says, A girl dropped something on the way out, and he's got a microphone in his hand.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, that pretty much was a mic drop moment, so.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it's appropriate.
So, from there, I don't have the TV show running in the background right now because I'm outside. What else do you want to talk about? What's the next thing that really came up?
Well, I don't remember exactly how it was chronologically, but I'm looking at my list here, and this one was a little bit of a smaller part of the episode, but still kind of important. How do you feel about Cersei finding out that trial by combat is a no-go?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait, but there's a scene before that that's epic with her, and that's when Maester Frankenstein shows up with the mountain. And basically says that the sparrows have the faith militant have shown up, and basically Tommen let them in, oh my gosh, what's his name? Her cousin.
Is that about Lancel?
Lancel, yes.
Yes.
Lancel's there, and he basically says, you know, your presence is requested. And I love that she stood her ground. I hate Cersei. I don't like the character. I love the actress, but I have never liked Cersei. I have never felt bad for her. I know that she's a fierce mother. I get it. I understand it. But there's a difference between her and Catelyn Stark. And just like Jamie says later on in the episode, they're very similar in their fierceness for their children. They're two different people, you know. There's one way to handle it, and there's another. I guess you could argue that she's still alive, so she's got the upper edge, and Catelyn Stark isn't. So, but anyway, he basically says, like, your presence is requested, and she's like, no, I'm not coming. And he's like, well, this isn't a request. And she's like, yes, yes, it is a request. You're asking me for something, and I'm telling you no. And they try to get all big and beefy with her, and the mountain steps in. And I love Lancel's face when he's like, tell your man to step aside or there's going to be violence. And, you know, she has this calculating moment where she says, I choose violence. Like, what are you going to do?
Amazing.
Now, this ties into the scene that you were asking about. Do you think that if she had done that, if she had gone to see the sparrow, that I really think that this was she got castled is what happened with this one. Like she got put in checkmate. Because if she had probably gone to see the sparrow, they probably would not have switched it to no trial by combat. But because she showed her hand with him violently ripping the guy's head off with his hand.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they went back. Yeah, like, incredible.
That was amazing.
Yeah, disgusting, but amazing.
I do think that's probably, she did show her hand, and there were consequences for that. But I still liked the scene, so.
Yes, I still like the scene. So then part of Cersei's storyline is she basically shows up. And I don't understand why Tommen is being so mean to her. I mean, she deserves it, but she doesn't deserve it from him. You know, she's never been mean to him. And I don't necessarily think that his decision to have no trial by combat moving forward is a bad decision. I think he was manipulated into it because they really want to nail Cersei.
Definitely.
So, like, I keep going back and forth with him. Like, he makes bad decisions sometimes for good reasons. Sometimes this decision is a good decision, but for the wrong reason. You know, meh.
Yeah. Tommen is very, very wishy-washy to me. I don't know whether to support him or not. Because every time he does something that I can get behind, it's like he does it for, like, weird reasons, or the way he goes about it is weird. I don't know how I feel about him at this moment.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same place right now. But basically, she's not informed that there was even going to be an announcement. So I'm wondering, she didn't get wind of that, if they would have made that announcement if she didn't show up. Probably, but it just seems kind of like a kick in the ass. And then they blocked her from standing next to her son, and we find out why. Because he basically announces that from this day forth, there will be no trial by combat, and Loras and Cersei will stand trial. I don't know how Margaery allowed that to happen.
Yeah, that I'm not sure about either.
And Margaery wasn't there, so I don't know if she's still staying at the Red Keep or if she's been traveling back and forth, but I didn't see her during that announcement.
Neither did I. I'm not sure.
So I don't know how she's... I'm pretty sure she's going to have to say something to Tommen at some point about that. Cersei's face, when she realized that she is not going to be able to have a trial by combat, is just like... You know
pretty
what I mean?
You could see it in her face, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate betrayal. He did the right thing, but for the wrong reasons and at the most inconvenient time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know. Then there's a comment that Cersei says to Maester Frankenstein. I really don't know his name, but I really enjoy using that term for him. So she asks him if the rumors are true, and he says more than true or something like that. Nobody seems to know what that's referring to. I don't know if that's referring to the fact that Varys may be back in Westeros because Maester Frankenstein has the little birds now. So I don't know if that's part of it or if there's something else. My coworker Natalie seems to think that she knows something that's going to bring down Westeros I don't necessarily agree, because mm-hmm. nothing is, it's got to be something that was referred to in a previous episode, because it was just so off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not usually that careless with plot devices. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure what exactly she was talking about. I've seen like people post about it, but I don't know where they were going with it or if they even knew where they were going with it. So I don't know. I don't think anybody knows at this point.
And since we mentioned Varys, we should probably talk about the Varys, Tyrion, Missandei and Grey Worm / Daenerys thing.
Yes. The awkward drinking.
Yes, but before that, there's Tyrion and Varys, and they're walking through the streets, and they see that Kinvara has basically kept her word, that her high priests and high priestesses are actually spreading the word that they want, that, you know, keeping Daenerys's flock well-informed. And they're walking around, and Tyrion and Varys, it's funny because the two of them did not like each other at all for a very long time. They tolerated each other. And then to see that they've kind of actually become really good friends, almost like opposites attract. Because Tyrion even says to him, and he's being honest, I'm going to miss you, you know? Mm-hmm. And Varys plays around with him and says, you know, well, I got to get on my own because I can't very well go off on a secret mission if the most famous dwarf in Marine is, was it Westeros or Marine, something like that, is following me around. Mm-hmm. And I love that when he calls Varys back and he says to him, the most famous dwarf in the world, which of course is Tyrion.
Yes, of course.
And then they cut to the awkward drinking scene. What did you think about that scene? Because I thought it was hysterical.
It was hysterical, but it was hysterical because it was so awkward.
Mm-hmm. It was like peer
painfully
pressure.
Painfully awkward. Yeah.
Yeah, it was super peer pressure. Like, anyone who's not drinking is an honorary queen. Like, wow.
Drunk. Oh, and the jokes, they were just something.
The jokes. I mean, I've heard both of those jokes before, so I thought they were pretty funny that they kind of used. The first one that Tyrion says is a pretty well-known joke, and it makes me laugh every time I hear it, but he started telling it, I'm like, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He is going to do that.
He did.
But that was cute. And I did like that Missandei started to kind of lighten up. Grey Worm was a little sarcastic, which came out of nowhere, which was pretty funny.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. And then, of course, they hear the sirens go off or whatever notification it is. I think it's a horn. And they notice that the ships are all pulling into the bay, into Slaver's Bay. And Missandei says the slavers are coming back for their property. And I don't think Tyrion counted on that. Even though Grey Worm warned him, he was right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did like that Grey Worm finally stood up to Tyrion. It was just like, you know, we did it your way. You don't know what we need. I told you this was going to happen, and you didn't listen, and now you don't have a say. Now we do what I say. And I think Tyrion really saw the value of Grey Worm in this episode. I think he kind of got a different level of respect for him.
Yeah, he definitely. I think that was a great scene.
Yeah.
He definitely needed that from Grey Worm.
Mm-hmm. And now, when the battle was happening, when they were throwing the catapults, one, I noticed, wow, they have trebuchets on ships. And Jamie was like, that's what she said. And then I said, not only do they have trebuchets on ships, they have trebuchets that are causing some serious damage on ships. That's impressive.
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that was a bit of movie magic. I don't think physics alone Those ships were not those ships were not physically large enough to have trebuchets carry that kind of power.
Yeah. Definitely some Thrones movie magic.
Right. But it was epic to see it. And so they decided to stay in the pyramid. And now, did you know that Daenerys is going to show up on the dragon when the scene started happening? Like, did you know that it wasn't the catapult and that it was the dragons on the top of the roof until the very end?
I did not know until the
I didn't either.
Until, like, it happened. I didn't know.
Right. I didn't either. And then when I watched it the second time, I'm like, how did I not know that? Because there's, like,
yeah,
dragon sounds in the background.
It's like it should have occurred to me, but it did not.
Mm-hmm. So Daenerys is back, which is awesome. But what do you think she's going to do?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Because we only got the two episodes left. And the next episode is supposed to be mostly the battle. However, I did notice that the IMDb, like, summary for it did say something about Daenerys. So obviously we're going to get at least one scene from her next week. I don't know what it's going to be. But...
okay. So do you think she's just going to unleash hell? Because she needs those ships, though.
She does need those ships.
At first, when the ships were coming in, I thought it was Yara and Theon.
I did,
and
too.
Then
I was talking to a friend about that. I was like, you know, until they showed the sails, I was totally thinking that it was the Greyjoys.
Me, too. I was like, yes. Aww.
Yeah, that's
no.
pretty much what I experienced.
Yeah. So she needs those ships, though. So if she had those ships and Yara and Theon's ships, she'd be set.
Mm-hmm. She will be.
Yep. Not much to say about her. She wasn't in much of the episode, all of 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but I'm glad she's back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that she didn't just take out the ships as she was flying in.
Yeah, but I guess that was kind of so she would have the purpose of maybe using them in the future instead of just taking them all down.
Yeah. I wonder if one of the fan theories is going to be correct that she's going to ride Drogon and that Tyrion is going to ride a different one.
Yeah, I've seen that. I would be interested to see that. Not floating around the internet.
Yeah. Could be interesting if that's the case. Don't know if that's true or not.
If it is, I mean, they've already kind of set it up a little bit, showing him interacting with the dragon.
Right. And then there's the scene with the Hound, the Hound storyline. So the Hound shows up. And I was like, man, that poor kid got violated in his ass and then decapitated in less than 5 minutes.
It was awful.
Right?
Oh, man. But the Hound just had me rolling because I love the Hound, so I missed him quite a bit.
I like kind of like the Hound is the Hound is kind of like no shits are given at this point.
Yeah.
He's like, look, like me, don't like me. But what I like about him is that there's no like divine righteousness about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shows up, he takes the guys out. That scene with the axe between the legs was gruesome, and then the guy kneels. That was awesome. And then the guy kneels down, and you know, he falls to his knees. And he's asking him, you know, where's the yellow cloak? And the guy's like, I don't remember what he says, go to hell, or I don't remember the exact wording. And he's like, come on, really? Like, that's the last thing that you're gonna say? Those are your last words? You could do better than that. And he comes out with the C word, which I can't repeat because I hate it. And he's like, really? You're just shit at dying. And he takes him out.
Oh, God, the Hound. You know, like, what he does is, like, technically horrible. I just laugh. Like, every time, I'm like, yes, I missed it.
Yeah. And then he just happens upon Beric and the priest and the Brotherhood, basically, hanging mm-hmm. their own for the for taking out the Septon. And he just walks up to them with an axe, like, la-di-da, and not even really surprised to see them. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? Hanging them? What are you hanging them for? Well, for killing the Septon and everybody. What do you want him for? And he's like, same thing. He killed one of my friends. It's just like a random conversation. Meanwhile, he killed him at one mm-hmm. point, Like, there's no animosity, really, with the Hound. It's just kind of like, it is what it is. And, oh, all right, you're alive. But what did happen with that is they blew the theory that Catelyn Stark is going to come back, unless she comes back in a different way. Because remember, we talked about Lady Stoneheart.
Yes.
And that Catelyn Stark is supposedly, she does, in the books, she does come back. But Beric has to give his life in order for that to happen. The priest gives his life for Catelyn Stark to come back. And since he's alive and well in the scene, unless they do it a different way, it seems like they switched it, that he's
mm-hmm.
that she's not back, because he would have had to be dead already at that point.
Okay.
Because it's too far after the fact for her to, be found and saved. We still have not seen Gendry.
Oh, my God. I'm, dying because he's, the only one left that we have not seen.
Right. But that scene where they're negotiating over how many men he can have, and they kind of, throw him a bone. They're like, yeah, you can have the two. And then the negotiation of, well, let me just hurt him a little bit.
Yes. I know. They're like, no, you have to hang him. And he's like, what?
Right? And, he's like, well, there was a time where I would have cut down all seven of you just to get to these guys. But, I really don't care. It is what it is. But this is the easy way out. And
mm-hmm.
The guy was like something about, I don't remember what, he was in the middle of a sentence. And he's like, it was a funny quip, and I can't remember what it was. But he basically hangs the first guy, and he dies pretty much. You could hear the crack in the neck. He pretty much dies. The second guy, awesome, doesn't die right away, and he's still struggling. And the best part about it is just so businesslike when the Hound kind of looks at his boots. And he's like, nice boots. He takes his boots off.
Amazing.
Doesn't even wait for his body to be cold yet. Takes his boots off, and he puts them on. And the faces, did you see the faces of the guys that were like, what the hell is, really?
Yes, they're like, okay, that's what we're doing now. Okay, I see.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that's what happened. You didn't let anything go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Funny little thing too about that is because I do work at the Renaissance Fair, and they do have a lot of similar clothing to what they're using. There's a bunch of fantasy in the show, but they do have similar clothing. But you notice how a lot of things are adjustable in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
They have
yes.
laces on the side and laces on the sleeves and things like that. There's a reason for that. One, it allows you to create different outfits with accessories, like different sleeves. You can change things out with that. But two, because a lot of that stuff was kind of just found on the road and or passed down.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows you to get more use out of the clothing and also pass it down to somebody who didn't necessarily have your body type.
Very nice.
Yeah, so there's a little thing. So, yeah, stealing somebody's shoes is not uncommon, but usually you wait till they're dead.
Yes,
that.
Usually you do wait until they've stopped.
But that was the ultimate F you to the dude, because he was still alive while he was taking his shoes off.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang you, and I'm going to take your boots. And then the conversation with all of them around the fire, and he was like, yeah, you got any food? He puts the boots on, he's like, you got any food? It's like, there's no animosity at all with him. It's just the next thing that needs to happen. Like, I'm hungry. And the guy, he's eating the rib, and the guy's like, you know, you enjoying yourself? He's like, eh, would have liked chicken better.
Oh, the chicken. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because the whole time when they were doing the negotiation, I was like, this reminds me of the chicken scene from way back when.
Right?
And then
right?
he mentioned the chicken, and I just about lost it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it's funny, too, because they're talking about things that happened, and Beric was like, oh, well, there's a reason why he's alive and blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember what spurred it, but he was like, look, he's like, something about I killed you once before. And he's like, well, you got, I don't remember. It was like smack talk. They were smack talking each other. And he's like, look, I killed you the first time because I was better than you. And I'm still better than you. So don't push it. Pretty amusing. And yeah. I did like how they were like, oh, you know, join us. And he's got this sense of humor in this season that he didn't have before. Where he's like, yeah, tried that. Didn't work out so well. And obviously yeah. he's referring to the Septon and that community.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Yeah, I was going to ask you that question.
That's funny.
I don't know, because people were talking online. They were, like, saying that because he met up with the Brotherhood, that maybe this opens the door for some things that happen in the books. I'm assuming mm-hmm. you know what they're referring to. I've heard whispering.
Tell me some of your whisperings, because it's been a while.
I've heard something saying about how, I think the article was about Gendry saying that he's somehow tied up with the Brotherhood. I don't know if that's true. I haven't gotten that far in the books.
He is. And if you look at some point, okay, so here's the thing. Arya and Gendry travel for quite a while. And I think the Hound, if I remember correctly, the Hound, Arya, and Gendry travel together for a while until they get to the chicken scene. And at that point, I think, or I don't remember. It's so far behind me at this point. I know at some point Gendry does stay with the Brotherhood, and that's how he and Arya split up, as he stays with the Brotherhood.
Okay.
Arya and the Hound somehow meet up. I can't remember because it's too far back. And they wind up going on. So that's
mm-hmm.
how they wind up getting separated. So, yes, Gendry should have been in that scene. He should have been with the Brotherhood. And he may still be. But what I think would be interesting is if the Hound stays and they meet up with Gendry, Gendry mentions that he knows Arya. That might be an interesting little play between the two of them. And if Arya does wind up going back to Westeros, it's possible she can meet up with the Hound and Gendry.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
I mean,
the Brotherhood.
So.
Yeah. Gendry, the Brotherhood themselves were faithful to Catelyn Stark. As Lady
mm-hmm.
Stoneheart, it's possible that they could get sucked into the Winterfell War, the Battle of the Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how they all wind up together. I don't know with that. I'm throwing stones in the dark at this point.
That would be interesting, though. They're going to need all the help they can get.
Yeah, they are. So that's almost everything except for the Jaime, Brienne, interplay, I think, right? Do you have anything else in notes before we get to that?
That's the only thing I have on the list left is what happened with them. And
okay.
the Blackfish, of course.
And the Blackfish. Yeah, so Bran and Pod show up, which, by the way, I have to say, the older Podrick gets, the more he looks like my high school boyfriend.
Oh, really?
And it Yeah, and it creeped me out because he has some of the same mannerisms as he's getting older, and he very much looks like him.
Wow.
So he kind of had that, you know, Charlie Brown kind of all-American boy kind of look to him. He was about the same build. He had the same facial expressions, sense of humor. Like, his smile was kind of the same. So it creeps me out that he kind of looks like my ex-boyfriend, who I still talk to, but he's happily married. I'm just putting it out there. But in either case, he shows up with Pod. She shows up with Pod. And Pod is like Captain Obvious all the time. Like, well, hey, it looks like there's a siege. And she's like, you know, your military prowess is unfathomable or something like that. Something sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like, hello, Captain Obvious. Thank you.
Like, duh, Patrick. We see that.
Right. Right. So the guys write up and she basically says, please tell Sir Jaime that I'd like to see him. I have his sword. And it cuts to Podrick, basically in the siege camp, waiting for Brienne, and this arm comes around his neck, and you're like, oh shit, what's going on? And then you realize that it's Bronn.
Oh, Bronn.
Bronn and Podrick are hysterical together, because you know
yes.
he knows him back from when he was Tyrion squire, so. Mm-hmm. They kind of had that easy relationship. And this time, instead of Brienne being the voice of the audience, of course the cops have to come because it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
They're crashing the recap.
They're crashing the hood. They're crashing the rehab. You get them. Anyway, the sirens just went on. Like, yeah, you get them. So... Pod and Bronn. So Bronn is the voice of the audience at this point in time. He's like the comic relief, but stating the obvious of what everybody else has been saying over this whole series with Brienne and Jaime.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Game of Thrones throws these characters in here that pretty much say what we are thinking. They do it with Tyrion, they do it with Brienne, now they're doing it with Bronn. What did you think of the whole scene?
I loved it. It had me laughing, and I was like, finally, someone says it out loud.
Right, right. So Bronn basically says, you know, so are they in there together? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, so are they fucking? And it, like, it never dawned on Pod for him to be like, wait, what? He's like, what? I'd fuck her. Wouldn't you fuck her? And the face, the facial expressions of Pod was just kind of like, no. And he gives like the stupidest excuse ever, which is like, no, I don't think of her like that, except for that's not what he says. He says, no, I'm her squire. And Bronn gives him this look like, yeah, because that would have stopped me.
Exactly. Everybody's right? Just making eyes at Brienne lately. I don't know. It's crazy.
I'm telling you. She is one hot bitch. And she can fight too. That's
exactly.
What's the best part about her.
That's her appeal.
Right. So he says what everybody else is thinking is, I'd fuck her, wouldn't you fuck her? He'd fuck her. And you know she'd fuck him. You see the way they look at each other. So, you know, there's that. And then it cuts to the two of them in the tent. What did you think about that conversation? Because there was a lot of subtext with that, where there was a lot of subtext and meaningful looks, but they were truly having a conversation and negotiation, but as equals. Like, he doesn't treat her condescending anymore.
No, not anymore. She's definitely earned. I mean, I don't want to say she earned it because she didn't need to, but... You know what I mean? Like, he's given that respect to her now that she's, like, proven to him, even though she doesn't, like, have to prove anything to him, but she has, that she can be on his same level. So he speaks to her like an equal.
Right.
Thankfully.
Oh, speaking of a reference to Brienne, just to jump back just real quick, when the Hound finally walks up to the guys,
the Brotherhood, and the guy draws the arrow, and he's like, put that down, you little girl. He's like, and he mentions, he's like, better girls than you, or tougher girls than you, have tried to kill me before. And I kind of chuckled at that.
Yeah.
Because he's referring to both Arya and Brienne. So, mm-hmm. So what did you think about Jaime's revelation about how he thought, he honestly never thought that Sansa was still alive?
That was interesting. That was interesting. I guess to him, I can see where he would see that, because obviously he doesn't see what the audience sees. But she's always been clever. It's just not in the same way that other people are, and I think that's what a lot of people have trouble with. It's like she's
okay,
playing
I'm gonna stop
her
you.
Own game.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, Brancy, because...
What?
She was not always clever.
No, not
she
always.
She's
been playing her own game for a while now.
For a while, but she was not always clever. In fact, she was very obtuse for a very long time. But
in the beginning, yes, she was, but...
Yeah, two seasons, she was pretty bad. Where you just wanted to shake her and be like, grow the fuck up. But, and I think that's why he thinks that, because that's the last time he really saw her, was when she kind of just was being pushed around. And I think that's what he meant by, I really never thought that she would be alive. Because she didn't seem, from what he saw, to be somebody who was able to stand, you know, to survive. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know. I like Sansa, so.
I like her, too. I think she's become a real badass, but she wasn't always like that.
No, she wasn't always like that, but, I mean, I understand why he doesn't see that or why he would think she'd be dead by now. But, I mean, even Tyrion saw it back in the day.
I think he saw that she had potential if she could just get out of her own way. You know, and start actually playing the game. Because Littlefinger took advantage of her, too. You know, she was very naive for a very long time. The good thing about Sansa is that she learned from all of those mistakes, and she was able to learn from... She was lucky. She was lucky long enough to become clever. You know what I mean? Like, she was lucky enough to survive and learn from the mistakes that she made previously, and sort of learn how to play the game.
Right.
Because there's a pretty big bell curve when it comes to Game of Thrones. She was very lucky that she survived a lot of those things.
Yeah, she is.
And Brienne basically calls Jaime on and says, you know, I really don't think you've met many girls like Sansa. And he does take her point, because obviously she's still alive. You know, and if Brienne is vouching for her, then there's got to be something to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
But that negotiation with, you know, basically he reminds her, like, look, technically Sansa is still wanted by my sister, so I respect you, but we're not on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask me to... It was weird, too, because that conversation with her, when he says, well, I'm also a Lannister, don't ask me to betray my family, as if that was even a choice. Like, it was odd that he even said something like that.
Mm-hmm.
To me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think that was ever a factor. I don't know why he felt the need to bring that up.
Right. But it kind of almost seemed like it was, because he seemed like he was warning her, like, don't ask me to do that, because it's going to put me, like, that's not even a choice. For him, it shouldn't even be a choice, but it seemed like there could have been something that weighed his decision, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I did like that Brienne came up with a tactical, logical, bloodless solution And Jamie went for it. You know, she's like, look, you want to get back there? Take it back. I'm not even fighting you on that. But if I can convince the Blackfish to leave the castle and give up River Run, will you give your word that we have safe passage? Because he could get in trouble for that.
Yes.
If Cersei finds out that he let the Blackfish go to go help Sansa, he's in deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
And also that she, at the end when he let her go. But I loved also when she's like, well, I'll convince, just leave it up to me, I'll convince the Blackfish. And he's like, have you ever met the Blackfish? And that little conversation there kind of made me snicker.
Mm-hmm.
That he's more stubborn than her, and ultimately he was. I don't know, what did you like? Oh, the other thing was right before he gives her the sword, which was very sweet and touching and very un-Jamie-like.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see that they really do have, like, this mutual respect for each other.
Yes.
And she stops before she leaves the tent, and she basically says to him, so if I fail to convince the Blackfish to leave and we fight, I'm honor-bound to fight for Sansa's kin. And he says, yeah, I know that. And then she clarifies, against you. And it dawns on him, they might actually have to fight each other. And he says
mm-hmm.
to her, let's hope it doesn't come to that. There's this true, like, that would be a regrettable situation kind of
yes.
feeling from both of them. But there's a wonderful meme. Have you seen the meme?
Probably.
It's the picture of Brienne looking at Jamie saying, you know, if this happens, I'm going to have to kill you in battle. And then there's a response, there's the look back to her, and the response is, heart eyes, that's the sexiest thing anybody said to me all season.
Yes, I have seen that.
I was like, yes, yes.
Yes, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. So she goes off. She goes to talk with the Blackfish. Previous to that, Bronn and Pod have a very amusing little discussion about fighting fair.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching him to fight dirty, which was awesome.
Yes.
And she talks to the Blackfish, who is just as stubborn as Jamie says he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that Brienne stood up to him and at least got him to read the letter. That was excellent.
That was very good.
Yeah. And the Blackfish kind of wavers a little bit. It's like he considers it, but then he does give a good justification. Like, look, I don't have the men to take back Winterfell that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brienne counters again and says, like, yeah, but you have more men than she does right now. And his response is, yeah, but I understand that she wants to get her home back, but this is my home.
Exactly.
What do you think? Do you agree? Do you think that he should have stayed? Or do you think he should have sent men to Sansa?
You know, I understand why he wanted to, but I feel like at that point, if it were me, I probably would have just left with her and gone to find Sansa. Because, I mean, that is the family that's closest to him now, because pretty much everybody else is dead.
Right.
And especially since he died anyways, which a lot of people are complaining about, too. They're like, really? You gave the Blackfish an off-screen death?
Right.
It's just like an offhand comment, like, oh, yeah, he died. There's no battle or anything.
Hmm. True. I don't know. I mean, the Blackfish wasn't one of my favorite characters in the book, so I'm going to get crucified for that comment. He wasn't, I didn't dislike him. I just didn't super like him. He wasn't like Arya or the Hound
mm-hmm.
For me.
Right.
He's mentioned a couple times here or there. I mean, he's a good character, but Edmure also was mentioned just about as much time as he was, and I really don't feel for Edmure.
No, I don't feel it.
thing for him.
But the conversation between the two of them was, that was an excellent scene, I have to say. The Jaime and Edmure conversation.
Yes.
Where he basically starts off this conversation as almost like conversational. And then it turns into, I'm sorry, did I give you the impression that this was a negotiation? Because it's not. Like, you're my prisoner, and I'll talk about what I want to talk about, and you're going to listen.
Exactly.
But I do think that that Jaime honestly does admire Catelyn Stark, because he sees the same fierceness in Cersei,
mm-hmm.
in Catelyn Stark, or he did. The thing that threw me off about that scene, though, is because I also watch Outlander,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you do, too, but the character, Edmure, the actor who plays Edmure, also plays a bad guy, like a really bad guy.
I knew he
looked like,
familiar.
Worse than Jaime Lannister, he plays Blackjack Randall in Outlander.
Yes, I knew he looked familiar. Oh, my God.
So it screws with me. Because I'm like, oh, no, he can't be a good guy in this one because he's such a bad guy in the other one. So that whole conversation was just excellent. They're wonderful actors. They really are. And then the fierceness behind Jaime is like, look, there's the Jaime that we knew. You know,
yes.
He's kind of been watered down, and we've been humanizing him and saying, well, you know, Jaime's not so bad and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever he gets away from Cersei, he's really not a bad guy. And then when Cersei comes back into the picture and he starts talking about her, it's like this hold that she has on him where he just becomes this vile human being. And he threatens Edmure with like, look, I will call your wife and child here and I will catapult your son over those walls. Because I don't give a shit about you, and I don't give a shit about the people in that castle. You know what I care about? I care about getting back to my sister because I love her.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and that's the Jaime that I know. It's like he needed to drop a mic at that point.
Yeah, everybody was dropping mics this episode, apparently.
I know. I don't know why everybody thought it was such a bad episode. There was so much meat to this episode.
I don't know why people were complaining because I had no idea what they were talking about.
I thought it was an excellent episode. And then, of course, they send Edmure out, and the Blackfish is absolutely right. He's like, that's not a legitimate order. Don't follow him. And the Captains of Guard, you know, did what he thought was right. Technically, the Blackfish wasn't the true heir of that castle. He was the
mm-hmm.
brother, and Edmure was the son of the Lord. So he is actually, it's like Bran versus John.
Right.
You know what I mean? Bran technically would be the rightful heir to Winterfell.
Right.
Because John still technically is a bastard.
Exactly.
But it's even further removed. It's like Bran coming back to Winterfell and saying, open the gates, and Brendan Stark saying, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the uncle. You know, it's the same kind of relationship.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, all hell breaks loose because Edmure, who has never met his son and hasn't seen his wife in what seems to be a year or two, decides that the son that he's never seen is more important. I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily would have made that choice. No.
No, yeah.
I would not have made that choice. No, I would have gotten into that castle and been like, F that. I'll stay here. You take some troops and go help Sansa, and we'll stay here in the siege.
That's what I would have done.
And you know Jaime would have actually done what he said he was going to do. He would
yeah.
have actually thrown that child over the walls.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets taken, the Blackfish gets killed, and then that scene where Brienne and Pod are rowing off in the dark, and they have that cute, like, bye. He raises his metal hand to say goodbye.
Bye.
Like, bye. So I think that's it. I think that's all we got to talk about. Next week is episode 9, and I know you were talking about it in last broadcast, that traditionally the 9th episode is like epic battle. And it's true. It usually is. So, and we know it's going to be an epic battle now because there's some mention of the White Walkers with the Brotherhood that could come to fruition. So they actually might meet up with Jon Snow. And we know that the Battle of the Bastards is going to be awesome. In the coming attractions, though, which I did see this time, Jon says to Melisandre, "If I fall, don't bring me back." So I don't know what's going to go on with that.
I'm scared because it's Game of Thrones. So I know some bad things are going to happen, but I'm also really excited for it.
I just really hope that Ramsay dies a horrible death and we get to see it.
I hope so.
I really hope it's Sansa that does it.
You know, I was talking about that with someone too. Is like, who gets to be the one to kill Ramsay? And I'm like, you know, I just want Sansa to have a part of it.
Right. You know what I don't understand though is that Jon has this weird, scared puppy dog look in all of the coming attraction scenes.
He does have a weird expression in all of them, and I don't know how to interpret
right?
it.
I don't either. I'm not quite sure.
I'm sure they're doing that thing that they do where, like, they show us the promo and try to make it look one way so we don't think about something else with full context. But I'm not sure what it can be at this point.
Now, if I could just bring something up that you guys talked about in the last broadcast that I really wanted to talk to you guys about, which was Lyanna Mormont. Awesome.
Loved her.
Like, she might be my next favorite character besides Arya.
Yes, she was amazing. And like, everybody lost their minds over this little girl.
Yeah. She was fantastic. She needs to sit on the Iron Throne. That's what needs to happen.
I mean, honestly. Did you see all the memes? Oh, my God. Hilarious.
Yes, I did.
The Daenerys
definitely.
One is my favorite. That one's my favorite.
Wait, which one was that?
Where it's like, it shows Daenerys, and it's like, "I am Daenerys, Stormborn of the House Targaryen," and then it shows Lyanna, like, cutting her off, and she goes, "I heard your name, so what do you want?" Like, before she could spout out all of her names
nice.
And all of her titles.
Yes.
That's the greatest.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite one.
I did not actually see that one, but that I'm going to have to go back and look at that. So we should be on for next week on time.
Yeah, we should be good for next week.
Okay. All right, sounds good. How was Wizard World?
Amazing. Do you even have to ask? Of course it was amazing.
I know. I saw the pictures. I was so... what is this whole thing? Like, I don't have a lot of internet access at work. What is this internet blow-up about Hiddleswift? Does that mean Hiddleston and Taylor Swift are dating? Like, what's the deal with that?
They were, like, pictured making out or something. You know, she just broke up with Calvin Harris. So, like, everybody's like, "Oh, Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston, now they're together." And I'm just like, oh, God, I don't know what to think about it. Nobody really knows what to think about it.
It's so funny because Jamie was like, "Well, I can't wait to hear the song that she writes when she breaks up with him or he breaks up with her."
And
I was like, you know, at
Amy
some point,
were saying that.
Right. But like at some point she writes all these songs about how her boyfriends are always awful and like it never works out and all that kind of crap. And like at some point, kid, you kind of have to look in the mirror and be like, maybe it's me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
Like
they
can't all be awful.
Going about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel from
I hate
one
this,
of the other
I mean,
co-hosts said it too. She was like, "I wonder what the song's going to be about."
Right. Now, please don't get me wrong. I actually do like Taylor Swift. I think she's a very sweet girl. I don't know her personally, but from what I've seen, she seems like a very sweet girl with a good head on her shoulders. And she's beautiful and she's all American. I don't really have anything against her. I don't hate her music. They just create these earwigs that I can never get out of my head. So that's annoying. So I'm not hating on Taylor Swift. Please do not send me hate mail. I like Taylor Swift, and I love Tom Hiddleston, especially since my boyfriend resembles him.
That's always a plus. I mean,
yes, well, not exactly. He's kind of a shorter, chubbier version of him, but he does actually have a very good resemblance to him when he's not in his Loki makeup. Definitely a weird combo, especially since he's the same age as my boyfriend, who is in his 30s, and Taylor Swift is in her early 20s.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure how that happened, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I was dating somebody who was in his 30s. There was a 10-year difference, and there wasn't that much of a difference. Like, it wasn't that bad, but... I think he's like more in the 15-year range difference. That's a little odd.
I don't know how old he is. I think she's like 26 or something. I don't know how old he is. I'm not sure the exact difference.
He's about the same age. I think they're born like a couple months apart. My boyfriend and Tom Hiddleston are the same age. So I think he's slightly older than Eric. Which would make him in the 35, 36 area, if I'm correct, or I could be totally wrong about my boyfriend's age, but he might be a little younger, but I think he's 35 or so, and she's, what, 21, 22?
I thought she was 26. That's what I thought.
Oh, then it is only 10 years. Then I don't care.
Yeah, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not a really big deal. I thought it was a bigger age gap than that. More power to her.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you could hook Tom Hiddleston, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, he's got some shoes to... She's young and spry, and he's not in his prime anymore. So he's still awesome, but he's going to have a hell of a time keeping up.
We'll see where it all goes. I'll be awaiting the next song.
I'm so going to get hate mail. Everybody's going to be like, you suck.
It's okay. I'm embracing it. Bring it on.
Yeah. I don't mean anything by it. Like, really do like these actors. And really, their personal lives is their personal lives. We really don't even have a right to be talking about it. I just thought it was funny that I saw the name and I was like, what's going on?
Yep. Oh, yes.
I'm like, and now for something completely different. All right, whatever. To each his own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, kid, I think we're done.
I think so, but next week, oh gosh, it's going to be intense, but I'm ready for it.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually sent Brancy, for those of you who are listening, I actually sent Brancy several text messages, which I still am not sure that she got, but they were like super late at night on Sunday. They were hysterical. I literally sent you a text message that was like, yes, lowercase letters. Yes, all lowercase or all uppercase letters. Yes. And then I said, also, I'm going to find Mike and murder him. Boobs, STDs,
yep.
He's dead to me.
I swear I didn't see any of those. I don't know what's going on with the interwebs. And Facebook.
Well,
this was your actual.
I texted your actual cell phone with those.
I literally didn't see it though. Like, I don't know what's going on. But
and then I was like, I was online with Amy, and I was like, is Francie like mad at me? Like, is she like ignoring me on purpose? Because I've been trying to contact her all day. Like, did I get the wrong phone number? And then I'm thinking, well, I sent these random text messages to some random person at 12 o'clock at night. And I'm like, did she actually get my text messages?
No. And I get a text from Amy, and I'm like, what? I haven't seen anything, so.
I don't know.
So, yeah. What happened?
So, I guess check your phone again on Sunday night after Game of Thrones, because I'll probably send you another text message like, yes.
I'll be on the lookout, because I literally did not see anything, but. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But you are free to criticize Mike all you want because he walked right into too many traps.
Did I tell you what? No, but I really do love Mike, and I do wish that he could come back and be our third, because he is hysterical.
Yes, I love Mike.
I really love listening to you guys when you doing the Walking Dead too. Like, I totally creep on that show. I wait. That's one of the shows that I actually wait for, and I actually get pissed off when it's not on Monday or Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
Like, if I have to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm like, for fuck's sake, what is taking so long?
Yeah. Oh, those are great. Oh, but speaking of Mike, I do actually have his Good Shows review. It's pretty short, so I'll just read it for any of you guys out there wondering. This is Good Shows review of the episode. It's kind of short, but I'm going to read it anyways. He says, yes.
Yes.
He loves it already. He goes, Brancy, you know me well. Your text was right. Love this episode. The hound with his axe, holy crap balls. The mountain with his bare hands. Those scenes were freaking awesome. We agree, Mike.
We agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad the old C is back, but I have a feeling she's going to have to take out that son of a king of hers. Kid lost his mind. Maybe he needs a little sexy time with the queen. That could help. Of course Mike would go there.
He needs a spanking. Mike is too crazy.
Mike is a disaster. Oh, God. loved the hound when he hooked up with the bandit dudes. Hilarious. Mother of Dragons, hell yeah. Those masters are in trouble now. Just a great episode in my eyes. Did y'all see next week's commercial? John versus Ramsay. Hashtag Team Snow here.
Nice. Team Snow. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
Cannot wait. Yep. All right. Well, I can't wait for it, and luckily enough, we don't have too many days left to wait.
Thank God. So, I'm nervous, but excited. So we should be back on Monday to talk about it. But thank you guys for listening, and enjoy episode 9 of Game of Thrones. Hopefully we don't suffer too much. I'm sure we will, but hopefully it's not too devastating for us all. But until then, enjoy the episode, enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend, and we will see you guys Monday.
Yes, wait, before we go, though, tell people where they can find us.
Oh, yes, you can find us at thevro.com. That's where you can find everything. And you can find us on our social media. We are Variety Radio Online on Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. And we are at thevro on Twitter. So if you guys have any thoughts, we'll be posting up the show. Like, send us a tweet, leave us a comment, or, you know, any of those things. We'll find them and we'll read them.
And you can listen to us on iTunes and Audio Boom and on the in-house player on the VRO.com. So please share. Give us your comments. You can send me hate mail if you really want to. At least we'll get some responses from you guys. But really, we would really love to have another guest on. So please.
Yes, please let us know what you're thinking. We enjoy when you guys have comments for us, and we will see you guys next week. Hope you enjoy the episode, and let's hope we survive it. And we'll see you guys on Monday. Goodbye.
Bye.